Welcome to Coach on the Rise, the podcast for all coaches of all sports. This podcast is a True North Sports production with the simple purpose of building a community of coaches who want to learn together, grow together, and support each other. If you'd like to learn more about True North Sports, please look for our info in today's show notes. Thank you for joining us, and now on to our show.
Hey coaches, welcome to episode 10. I'm happy to be here, and I'm your host for this episode, Ramat Alhassan. In today's podcast, we're going to hear from Becky Burley, who is the head women's soccer coach at the University of Florida, and one of her players, Gabby Seiler. They're going to tell us about how important developing your players off the court or field can make them better athletes, and that there is a place for love in sports. All right, but before we get into all of that, just a little reminder that Camp Elevate will be held on campus of University of Colorado, Colorado Springs, on May 29th through 31st. Unfortunately, our early bird special for Camp Elevate has closed, but we have another deal on the table. Coaches, if you can get three people from your school to sign up for Camp Elevate, each person will receive $200 off of the $797 price. If you already signed up at our $697 early bird price and managed to get two more coaches to sign up from your school, we will refund you $100 and give the other two coaches the $200 discount. Happy recruiting, coaches, and don't forget, if you're an alumni of Camp Elevate, the Coach on the Rise Academy, or ACIP program, you get a special rate. For more information on Camp Elevate, visit our website, www.truenorthsports.net. Now, back to the podcast. First up, we have Gabby Seiler. Hello, I'm here with Gabby Seiler, a fifth-year senior on the University of Florida women's soccer team. And I wanted to talk with her and get some inside details about Becky Burley, who is our main guest for today's podcast. Hi, Gabby. Thanks for joining us.
Of course.
So what are three words that you would use to describe Becky as a person and a coach?
Three words that I would use to describe Becky is a leader, selfless, and caring.
Yeah. Why?
I think the best thing about Becky is she definitely leads by example, and that's why I would call her a leader. And then number two, she's selfless in the sense that she definitely cares more about others, and she would do anything for anyone on the team or anyone within our program. And then loving, I think any coach has to have the love aspect, even if it's tough love or self-love or just, so you know, if you are having a bad day. So those are why I would describe her with those words.
Yeah. What have you learned about yourself as a collegiate soccer athlete?
I have learned that you definitely have to be resilient in the fact that, you know, you're going to go through a lot of struggles. I think I grew a lot from my freshman year to my senior year, and I think I wouldn't have been successful if I hadn't have struggled. So I think just kind of learning to embrace the struggle.
Yeah, awesome. How would you describe your team culture here at UF?
Our team culture is very unique, I would say. Coming from another school, you know, I got to experience two different team cultures. And I think here, you know, we really try to focus on who you are as a person more than you are as a player. And I think sometimes it's easy for coaches to get wrapped up in who you are as a player so much that they forget that you're almost a person. So I think Becky does a really good job with meeting with the players once a week or, you know, at least once mm-hmm. a month, which I think is really huge in the collegiate setting just because that's kind of rare. Mm-hmm. So I think just, like, getting to know you as a person and making sure that you're successful after soccer, after your sport, is Becky's main goal.
Yeah. What was the transition like just coming from Georgia to here?
Yeah, the transition was, you know, it was a little difficult in the beginning. Just because when you come from, like, you know, a completely different, like, 180 mm-hmm. place, I think, you know, it's harder to kind of adjust. But I will say, because Becky has instilled this team culture for 20-something years, you know, I think she had that family aspect within mm-hmm. our team. So they made me feel like I was part of the family yeah. right away.
Awesome. So reflecting on your experience in college and knowing that there's such a lack of female coaches in the U.S., how important is it that you have a strong female coach?
I mean, I think, you know, not even just in sports, but, I mean, women, I mean, already struggle within the workforce. And I think, you know, Becky is, like, just amazing. And, you know, Mary Wise, and we have two amazing, strong female leaders just at our school. So I think we're lucky to just even, you know, take what we can and learn from them and kind of how they started this. I think it's huge just to have them as role models and, you know, just be able to learn from them every day.
Yeah. Well, obviously, you know, Becky being your coach, do you think that she's kind of inspired you to maybe go into coaching after you're done playing?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I'm kind of in this weird phase just being injured and kind of trying to figure out what I want to do. And I think Becky has inspired me to want to coach if I wanted to go down that path. And she's the perfect mentor, leader that I would need, I think, if I did want to do that. So I think just learning from her has been amazing. And I think if I did want to coach one day, I think just having her as a resource would be amazing.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you, Gabby, for joining us today.
Hi, my name is Gabby Seiler, and I know you'll enjoy this podcast with my coach, Becky Burley.
So now let's turn to the main conversation between Becky Burley and myself. I'm here today with Becky Burley, the head coach of the women's soccer team at the University of Florida. Hi, Becky. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Ramon.
So, Becky, just from knowing some of your players, I hear a lot about your coaching philosophy and kind of like what it does for them. What is it about your philosophy?
That's a big question. I think the thing that we try to talk about is we're really interested in developing players, but we're also really interested in developing people. And those two things are equal in our mind as far as the importance we put on both. And it's not just because we're trying to do that as, you know, a goodwill gesture. I think that if we create better people, we actually create better results too.
Awesome. How important is it knowing your philosophy to your overall long-term success as a collegiate coach?
Well, I do think that your philosophy sort of evolves as you coach. I think it changes, you know, the longer you're in it just because certain things become more important to you. But I do think when you're first starting out coaching, like if you don't have a philosophy, then you're sort of just wandering this road and not really sure where you're going. But if you have it, then you can kind of map out the things that are important to you and start hitting those things in your program. Like, for example, one of the things that we painted on our wall this year out the practice field was attitude, body language, and effort. And those are all controllable things. They're all things that anybody can do regardless of skill level. And that's just like a really good visual reminder. We hadn't had that up before. And I think we had talked about those things, but it became a big emphasis when you see it on a, you know, 6-foot wall every day.
Yeah. Can you really love your players at this level and still manage to win?
I definitely think so. I think the love thing is about, like, you want to get the most out of them. So sometimes they might not love you back. So I think there's that part of, you know, maybe it's tough love sometimes. But I don't know. I think love is like a key ingredient on a team. Because I think if I didn't love what I'm doing, I'm probably not very motivated or interested in doing it. Yeah. And if I didn't love the people I was doing it with, that would make me also feel less motivated, which means I wouldn't be giving my all to it. So I don't know. I feel like it's a really key ingredient.
Yeah, for sure. I can see that. What is some of the best advice that you've ever received?
Let me think about that one. I do think that I don't know if this was advice or how this came into my life, but it definitely came into my life really early, back when I was still coaching at Berry College, which was in the first 5 years of my career, was just kind of like separating my identity from my results. So like I always used to just joke, like, I'm not defined by my career choice. You know, I'm not defined by coaching. That's not who I am. That's just what I do. And I don't know really who told me that. I wish I could attribute that to somebody, but it's something that was incorporated into me at a very early age.
Yeah. How do you kind of take that advice and like apply it to your teams now?
Well, I think it's the same thing. Like, soccer isn't who they are. Soccer is what they do. It should be a part of what they do. And I want them to be really focused and do it really intently when they're doing it. But at the same time, you know, I want them to be really good students. I want them to be really good friends. I want them to be really good sisters or daughters or whatever they are. And so I think that that part of it is like, don't be one dimensional, you know, when you're in something, do it to the fullest, regardless of what it is.
Yeah. So you've been coaching for a long time. What's kept you in the game for so long, and kind of what advice do you have for coaches, younger coaches staying in the game?
I think one of the things that forces people out of coaching early is the struggle with conflict because I think coaching is conflict. Like, every day is conflict. You know, when you pick a starting lineup, it's a conflict because someone's not happy. When you make somebody do something at practice that they don't want to do, that's conflict. And so it's really easy to take so much of coaching personally. And I think for myself, like, I don't know whether it's compartmentalization or I'm not sure. I really don't take things very personally when it comes to coaching. So it's not that I do care whether our players like me or not. I mean, I get my feelings hurt, like I'm human. But at the same time, like, I very rarely look at something and think that it's all about me. I kind of look at things and see, okay, well, this is the circumstance. Yeah, I'm involved in it, but I can depersonalize a little bit. And I think that has helped me with longevity. And then probably the second thing is I don't feel like I'm making sacrifices to coach. Like, I've made choices and I really enjoy what I'm doing. So, like, I had this quote again, I don't know who to attribute it to, but somebody told me, nothing's ever work unless you have something better to do. And for me, like, coaching has never, like, there's nothing better to do for me. So, like, I've never felt like I've given up something else to coach because it doesn't feel like work.
So, looking back at your career, what advice would you give your 20-year-old self when you were just getting started?
Let's see. I definitely think I would say enjoy the ups and the downs, which is really easy to enjoy the ups. But understand that the downs give you, like, some kind of context for the ups. You probably learn a lot more from the downs. Mm-hmm. And so don't be afraid of those. Don't be afraid to make mistakes, because that's the fastest way to learn. I think that I was really fortunate because I took over a very good program, but there was also some pressure in that because I wanted to sustain that program. And then when I started at Florida, like, you know, sometimes it's good to know, to not know what you don't know, because I never had an idea what starting a program would be like. And I would never do it again, by the way. But I'm glad I did it once. And I think it's kind of like, just sort of like embrace whatever comes at you, because in coaching, you have no idea from day to day, from year to year, what's going to come at you. Mm-hmm. And just look at it as like, oh, well, this is new and this is a challenge, instead of like, this is a threat or this is an opportunity.
Yeah. Just kind of going off of starting a program, what was that like?
It was grueling. Like, I mean, I think the hardest part was, you know, recruiting the first team, because when you don't have like a staff in place or team in place to help you with that whole hosting process of getting people on campus, it's like having company constantly and like company that you really have to impress. And so it was exhausting. I mean, I can remember after weekends of recruiting, like sitting at my desk on Monday and just like feeling like I really wanted to like take a nap. And then even things like the to-do list just never ended. So there were some days where I would be like, okay, this is what I'm going to get done with this week. And then like an hour later, I'd be like, that's just way overwhelming. So I'd be like, this is what I'm going to get done today. And then sometimes I'd be like, this is what I'm going to get done before lunch. Okay. And you just had to keep narrowing it down smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yeah. Sounds like a lot of work. Can't imagine. What do you want your legacy to be as a coach?
The biggest thing for me, I think, is that I would love to be a role model for people, in the sense of, one, you can, like you said, love your players, you can love what you do, and you can be like a little more than just like narrow-minded person or a narrow-minded individual. Like, you can kind of have a bigger life than just coaching and still be successful. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of coaches, you know, they see the path, because they've seen it work so many times, they see the path is, you got to be like super focused. You can't let anything distract you. You can't let relationships get in the way, whether it's your own personal ones or ones with your players. Like, and I want to change that model a little bit. And I think that if you can do that at a place like Florida, which is like the highest competitive level of college athletics, then it kind of erases that excuse for anyone else.
Yeah. And then, she kind of going off that, what are three words that you hope people will use to describe you?
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. I guess caring, curious, meaning, like, I always wanted to learn, and I think that's another, I should have mentioned that in the keys to a long-lasting career, because if you think you're done learning, then you're done. And maybe empathetic, because like we have such a wide range of student athletes from so many different backgrounds that it would be great for people to think that I was able to put myself in their shoes and understand where they were coming from with so many wide perspectives.
Yeah, just kind of going off that, like, your team is a larger team. So how is it that you're able to develop those relationships with each one of your players?
It's really hard, but it's intentional. You know, like, for example, we, with our team, we meet with every player every week. And that's a lot of time.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of energy, too. Mm-hmm. Not just time, but, like, emotional energy. And to me, you know, there's other things I could do, like there's other tasks or things I could get done, but I'm not sure that there's anything I'm going to do that's going to affect winning more on the weekend than developing and like creating a relationship with the person during the week. So sometimes that puts you in a bind because there's a lot of work to do, and the problem with human interaction is there's not a finite time for it.
Yeah.
You know, like you might think you're going to have a 10-minute meeting and it turns into a 40-minute meeting. But that's also the beauty of it. It's, you never, you know, like I always tell people, like in soccer, you know, okay, like we play a formation called the 4-4-2. There's only so many ways you can teach the 4-4-2. But people are different all the time. And that's, if you focus on the people, that's what keeps your interest in the long haul.
Yeah.
4-4-2 isn't going to change that much. People are going to change minute to minute, day to day.
Yeah. And so you've been to Camp Elevate. You're speaking at Camp Elevate. So just kind of tell me like what your experience was and kind of how it impacted you.
Well, the thing that I love about Camp Elevate is everybody's there because they want to learn and they want to be curious and they want to get better. And to me, like, you know, as coaches, when you see other coaches with that kind of thirst for knowledge, like it excites me because they want to be there and they want to invest in themselves to get better for their players. And I think it's just a cool environment when you're with all these different sports because like you see all these things that like you never saw in your sport and you thought, whoa, like I could transfer that into my sport. And it gives you a whole fresh perspective. And then I think also with both men and women in the room, it gives a very big picture mentality of like, we don't get all stuck in kind of groupthink. Everybody has such a different perspective. So I really enjoy Camp Elevate. And I think what Celia and Camp Elevate is trying to do in terms of educating coaches is really, really needed. I think everybody should have to go to a Camp Elevate at some point in their life.
Yeah. Well, thank you for taking the time out of your day to do this. Obviously, you could be meeting with some of your players if you weren't here.
Well, thanks for doing it. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no problem. I want to thank you for listening. If this podcast has added value to your day, I just ask that you do two things. Share it with a friend in the coaching world. And if you're so inclined, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast. The more people we can add to this wonderful coaching tribe, the better for everyone. As you head out to your day, just a quick reminder. To find out more information on Camp Elevate, go to truenorthsports.net or find us on Facebook by searching True North Sports. Thank you, Becky and Gabby, for taking the time out of your day to participate in this podcast. Once again, thank you for listening to Coaches on the Rise, a True North Sports podcast. I'm Ramat Al-Hassan, and I've been your host.